when God shows up. Now, that's a phrase many times we use to describe those incredible moments where we just know, or we know without a shadow of doubt, that God's here. You feel his presence. You know, maybe for you, it was one of those times where you crept outside or early in the morning and you watched the sun make its first peek over the horizon, and you just knew God was there. Or maybe you were watching a sunset, the multi-hued colors across the sky, and you just felt the warmth and the peace in that moment and knew that, you know, God was there. Or maybe for you, it was over Thanksgiving. You looked around the house, around your family, looked at all the things that God has given you, and you were so thankful, and you just knew that God's been there. Or maybe for you, it's one of those quiet moments, one of those prayer times with just you and God, and it felt like God pulled up a chair just right next to you, and you had this conversation, and God just showed up, and you knew he was there. You know, all through the Bible, God shows up. The truth of Scripture is that God doesn't just show up every once in a while. The truth of Scripture is that God has been and always will be right there. In fact, I was thinking about the title of the series, When God Shows Up. Probably more of an accurate title is this, When God Shows Up and We Realize It. That's probably a more accurate title for this series. And there was a guy in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, who learned this lesson. His name was Jacob. And incredible things happen with Jacob. Jacob is working and serving, and he falls asleep and has this dream. And while he's asleep in this dream, God shares with him all the amazing things he's going to do for his people, the children of Israel. And he tells him, Jacob, I'm going to take care of you. Jacob, I'm going to watch over you. Listen to what Jacob says when he awakes. He says this, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. A.W. Tozer says this, Jacob was not for one small moment outside the circle of God's presence, but he knew it not. That was his trouble, and that is ours. Men and women do not know if God is here. What a difference it would make if they only knew. You know, in this room, we've got quite a diverse group of people who have a whole different background, maybe, on what they believe about God and God's presence. And I'm just guessing, but I believe that most of the people in this room believe that there is a God. Most of the people in here believe that God exists. And we may also agree on other attributes and things about God. We may agree about those things. But at some point, early in your faith journey, in your walk, those collections of beliefs became something more. They became a relationship, a passionate, intimate relationship with God. I mean, as amazing as it is, we see that Jesus, God's Son, showed up in a manger, and we say, God showed up. And we watch that little baby grow to be a man. And he went to the cross and died for our sins, died for the sins of the world, and we realize that God wants to be connected with us. He wants to be in a relationship with us. And so our experience, our faith becomes more than just some religious experience. It becomes more than just a collection of things that we believe in, a collection of beliefs. You see, it becomes a faith journey where we walk with God hand in hand. But here's what you need to know. As you begin that faith journey, there are going to be some ups and there are going to be some downs. You see, let me give you the AccuWeather forecast for your life and mine. You see, here's what the Doppler is saying. The Doppler is saying, it's sunny out there, but there is high pressure coming. Storms are coming. They are going to come. Jesus says, in this life, you will have trouble. There will be problems. In fact, the wind is going to blow against your life. The rain is going to come. The floods are going to come. The waves are going to beat against your life every single day. Things are going to happen. Trouble's going to come. Life is going to be high pressure. And I don't know about you, but holidays can tend to bring that, can't they? I don't know about you, but last week over Thanksgiving, I heard a lot of stories of stressful times. Maybe you got caught up in some traffic, or maybe you got caught up in shopping, or maybe you got caught up with some of your family that created stressful moments for you. In fact, I heard a story about a little boy who was asked to pray for his Thanksgiving meal, and he came to his mom and said, Mom, I don't know what to say. I mean, what am I supposed to say at prayer time? She said, don't worry about it. Just say what you always hear me saying. Just pray what you hear me saying. Little boy said, okay. And so the family and friends all gathered around the table. They grabbed hands and they bowed their heads. And the little boy said, oh, dear God, why did I invite all these crazy people to my house? And when are they ever going to leave? Now, maybe there's a little stress around your family. Maybe there's a little stress in the holidays for you. I think one of the best books ever written on stress is a cute little book, and don't agree with everything, but it's a book by Richard Carlson. It says, don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. Now, it's a practical little book, and it's got some good insights, but I don't agree with the title, especially the second part of the title, because you see, it's not all small stuff, is it? It's not all small stuff. I mean, you tell the person fighting for their life, fighting a debilitating disease, that is small stuff. You tell that neighbor who's just trying to put food on the table and keep a roof over their family's head, who's been out of work for over a year, that is small stuff. I mean, you tell that person sitting in the pew next to you who's losing their dream of the family they've always wanted, losing the use of their eyes or their legs, losing their house, losing their job, that it's all small stuff. I mean, you tell the one who just put a rose on their mom or dad's casket that it's small stuff. You tell the one who just had a miscarriage that it's small stuff. You tell the parent who prays every day for their prodigal kid that it's small stuff. You tell the person who's just trying to make it for the third day without drinking that it's small stuff. You see, worldly philosophy is forced to minimize our trouble in life because it has no real answers. It has no answers, and you and I, we know it. Trouble's coming. Big stuff is coming. We are going to face tough things, and what we want in those moments, we want someone to show up who's got answers. Someone who can tell us the truth. Now, odds are just about every one of us in this room at this point in your life have experienced some dark moments. Some stormy moments in your life. You've been overwhelmed. You've been tired. You have been weary. Well, there's a clip I want to show you about a family who's just gone through storm after storm after storm. I mean, this family had been beat up, lost their house, lost jobs, lost their possessions. And now in this scene I'm about to show you, this young boy played by Elijah Wood, he shouts out to God. And he just shares his honest thoughts about the fact that he is lost his father now. I want you to watch this clip.
I think God just took him on home.
We're his home, Mom. The stupid Lord can have him later. Why does God take everything, Mom? Bad enough our house and all our things. Why do you have to take my daddy? What did I do so wrong that he'd have to take my daddy?
Oh, no. You didn't do nothing.
He could have took anybody. Charles Manson, super old people, already been around 100 years. My dad was only 34 years old. I needed him more than you got. I needed him more.
Come
here. No.
Hang on.
I want him back, Mom.
We all do. We do. No, it's good.
Someone tell that kid it's all small stuff. It's not all small stuff. And many of you in life have had storms blow in, and many of you in this room have experienced those storms, but you've also experienced how God can be your refuge. How God can be your fortress, and he wants to be your refuge. He wants to be your fortress. You've experienced his presence. You've experienced his power. You've experienced his love. You've experienced his peace. You've experienced his comfort. And what he wants you to do is experience him. And know that sometimes, yes, sometimes he does calm the storm. I've experienced it in my life. That sometimes God does calm the storm. Sometimes he does step up and raise his hands and open his mouth and he calms the storm. In fact, I want you to read whether he did this in the Bible, Mark chapter 4. It's a story about Jesus, his disciples, a boat, in a storm. Read this with me. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was at the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, and they asked him this question maybe that you've had on the tip of your tongue before. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Don't you care if we drown? Can you sense the feeling in this? Can you sense and hear the honesty, the intensity that they're coming to Jesus with this question? Don't you care, Jesus? Don't you see what's going on out there? Don't you see the wind and the waves? Don't you know? Is your eye not on us, Jesus? Don't you care? How can you sleep in a moment like this? Look what Jesus does. Jesus got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Church, here is the great news. The incredible news. You see, when you hit a storm in your life, when you hit one of those moments, that is who is by your side. The one who can control the wind, the one who can control the waves, the one with a mere voice can stop it all. I mean, I think at times in my life, God looks at me and says, "Jason, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Is your faith still so small? Are you still so stressed out? I mean, don't you know I'm the one who flung the stars into the universe? I mean, Jason, don't you remember I'm the one who set the sun in the sky? I mean, Jason, don't you remember? I mean, I'm the one who figured out this whole lunar tide thing. I mean, Jason, don't you remember? I understand how lightning and thunder works. And if I've got all of that covered, don't you think I can handle your storm? Don't you think I can handle your wind and your waves and what you're facing right now? You see, I'm the God of little stuff, but I'm also the God of big stuff. I can handle your storm." A couple of weeks ago, I was backstage after service in Starting Point, and someone came by, and it's a lady that I know has been in this church for a little while. She's been going through a lot of storms in her life, a lot of adversity. And she came back, and she says, "I just want you to know something. I understand now." I said, "What?" She goes, "I understand. I understand that God is with me, that he wants to be my refuge. And every day, here's what I feel like. Every day, he's reaching down with his hand to me and simply saying to me, 'Would you take my hand and walk with me?'" And that's what I hope you get tonight. That's what I want to communicate tonight, that we have a God of the universe that is reaching his hand down to you saying, "I want to walk with you. I want to be with you. I want to be your refuge. I want to be your fortress." And I believe right now at this very moment, God's eyes are scanning this room. And he's scanning this room and looking for the person in this room with a lump in their throat. He's looking through this room right now for the person who is struggling, who's got a tear in his eye. He's scanning this room right now looking for that person who's got a heart that's been crushed. And he's saying, "I'm here. I'm strong enough. I can handle this. The wind and the waves obey me. I want to be your refuge. I want to be your hiding place. I want to be your fortress. Come to me. Don't run away from me. Come to me. Share your heart with me. Share your frustrations. Share your fears. Share it all with me. Open your heart to me." And I've learned in my life that when I open my heart to God and I pour it out, that sometimes he does calm the storm. He can. And he does. Sometimes he calms the storm. But I've also learned this. Other times, right in the middle of the storm, he calms his child. He calms his child. There's a story about a king who wanted a picture of peace to hang in his castle. And so he put together this giant plan. It was a contest. Who could paint the best picture of peace? And so artists from all over the land began painting pictures that described peace to them. And he whittled it down to two paintings. And the first painting was a picture of a beautiful pond, a lake that had no waves, no ripples. It was like glass, almost like a mirror. And it reflected the incredible, majestic trees and the mountains and the blue sky with the fluffy clouds. And when everybody looked at that picture, they thought, wow, that right there is a picture of peace. But then there was a second picture, quite different. And this picture was a picture of a barren mountain. The sky had wind in it, and you could see the lightning bolts, and you could see the rain. And coming out of the mountains was this huge waterfall, and they had this ferocious water pouring down, and they had jagged rocks. And right in the middle of that waterfall, on this little outcropping of a jagged rock, was a bush. And on top of that bush sat a bird's nest. And in that bird's nest, as he looked very close, was a mama bird and two baby birds. Well, he said, the contest is over. This is the winner. And people looked and said, I don't understand. Why is this the winner? He said, because that is exactly what peace is all about. When things are coming crashing down around you, when the waves are coming, the water's coming, when the torment of life is coming, you can still find peace. That's a picture of peace. You see, sometimes he does calm the storm. But other times, right in the middle of that storm, he calms his child. In Isaiah chapter 48, God says, I want to give you peace like a river. Now, if you grew up in church or Sunday school or vacation Bible school or went to camp, you've probably sang that song before. You know the song? I've got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. Peace like a river down my soul. I'm trying out for American Idol, so I'm getting ready for that. But maybe you've sung that song before. Maybe you know that song. And maybe you're like me. You're thinking, why does God say peace like a river? I mean, why doesn't he say peace like a pond? Or maybe peace like a bathtub, you know? No waves, no ripples, no adventure. I mean, if there's one thing I've learned in my life growing up in southern Indiana on the Ohio River, it's that rivers move. And they have a strong current. And they move fast. And you see, I think God is using this analogy here of a river. And he's describing peace here, a peace that's present in life when there are twists and turns and rolling of the white water in your life. He's saying this, to have peace like a river. It's security and tranquility in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, right in the midst of these unexpected challenges that we face in life. You know another thing I've learned about rivers? Rivers have a source. They have a source, and they dry up if something happens to their source. Well, a little bit later in that scripture in Isaiah, here's what it says. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. Now, here's what I've noticed in life, that when the river is cut off from its source, it dries up. And the same thing is true in my life. When I am cut off from the ultimate source of peace, which is Jesus Christ, I dry up as well. My peace is gone. And I've discovered that I've got to stay daily connected to him if I want to continue to have that peace in my life. And when I disconnect my life from him, I immediately begin to lose my peace. You see, the key to finding calm in the middle of the storm is by surrendering to the authority of Jesus Christ. You see, peace is the fruit of an obedient life. And if you want to settle the matter of peace in your life, then you got to settle the matter of who is in charge of your life. You know, all through this week, I was looking at scriptures. Looking through scriptures in the Bible that talk about this. And God paints some incredible pictures throughout scripture. Because I think he wants every single one of us to know this simple fact. That no matter if you're tired, if you're weary, if you're beaten up, if you're burdened, if you're overwhelmed, he cares. And he wants to be your refuge. I think God wanted to make it crystal clear to every single one of us that no matter what you're facing in life, he wants to be your refuge. In fact, that word refuge literally means a sanctuary, a hiding place, a fortress, a place of safe retreat. And I believe that all the way through scripture, God is calling out to you and to me, saying simply this, if you need me, I will be there for you. I will be your fortress. I will be your refuge. And I know in times in my life where I've faced severe disappointment, I know there are times in my life when I've just been overwhelmed. There have been times in my life where I felt like I can't go another day. And maybe you've been there. And I remember a time in my life where I've just felt so overwhelmed by life. I thought, you know what? I just can't bear it. I just can't keep on going. I remember going to my Bible and I opened it up. And I landed in Matthew chapter 20. And one of these incredible verses popped up. Here's what it says. A battered reed, he will not break off. I remember reading that and thinking of the picture of a battered reed and going, you know what? That's me right now. That's exactly how I feel. I feel like I'm about to break in the middle. My back is about to break under all of this pressure. And I read that scripture again and was reminded of what God was saying. He's saying, I will not let the battered reed break. And then I read the next part of the scripture. It says, a smoldering wick he will not put out. And I remember thinking, you know what, God, at this point in my life, if the wind picks up 1 mile an hour, if the storm, this velocity of the storm picks up anymore, I'm going to be snuffed out. God, I'm going to be blown out. I don't think I can keep on going. God, I'm just going to be blown over. And I read the text again. And I was just reminded that God was saying, I will not let it happen. I will not let your candle be blown out. You see, what God is saying here to us is, I will step in. I will shelter you. I will shield you so you won't get snuffed out. I mean, the idea of God being a refuge, God being a sanctuary has been huge in my life. And I know that some of you in this room right now are thinking, okay, Jason, I live on the logical side of the world, and I want to know how this happens. I mean, how do you do this? How do you make this happen? How do you pray to God? How do you ask him for anything when you feel like a reed about to be broken? I mean, how do you go to God in the middle when you're feeling horrible, that you're a candle about? How do you pray to God in that moment? I mean, how do you go from here to here, Jason? How do you go from prayer to a refuge? How does that happen? I want to know. Would you tell me? Would you take me through steps 1 and 2 and 3? Well, let me just tell you this. Some of this I can explain. Some of it I can't. Because you know what? There is this mystical, supernatural part of this that only God can explain. Only God can explain. But what I do know is what it says in Psalms. It's this: trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And you know, when I've done that, he's been that. When I've done that, he's been that for me. And I just want you to listen real quick to a number of scriptures that I've pulled together. And it's not all of it. It's all I can fit on the page for you. If you flip your outline over, you're going to see a number of scriptures. And I just want you to see what God has to say to you. Psalm 9:9, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 57:1, have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. Psalm 119:114, you are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Psalm 59:16 through 17. But I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love. For you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. You are my strength. I sing praises to you. You, God, are my fortress, my God on whom I can rely. Psalm 61:1 through 4. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Psalm 118:8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. And Psalm 142. I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before him and tell him of all my troubles. When I am overwhelmed, you alone know the way I should turn. Wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. I look for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. Then I pray to you, O Lord. I say, you are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. Hear my cry, for I am very low. Rescue me from my persecutors, for they too are strong for me. Bring me out of prison so I can thank you. The godly will crowd around me, for you are good to me. Church, what the psalm writer learned, what I am learning, and what I want you to learn in this moment is this, that if you pour your heart out to God, he will be your stronghold. He will be your shelter. He will be your hiding place. He will be your fortress. And the reason I placed all those scriptures together for you on that one sheet is so that you can place it somewhere in your life where you can see it. And when the winds begin to blow, when the storms come, you can take it out and you can see the truth of the word of God. He will be there for you. He is your strength. He is your fortress. He is your protector. He is your hiding place. He is your refuge. Would you read two more with me? Matthew 11, 28 through 29. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. One more words of Jesus, John 16. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. What Jesus is telling us, what God is reminding us through time and time again, is that he has the ability to take us above everything that the world is throwing at us. I mean, the world throws some heavy stuff at us, but he's saying, I'm better, I'm stronger, I can handle whatever the world hurls at you. You can have peace no matter what situation you're in. If you trust in me, I will be your refuge. Let me just ask you this. How do you deal with your weariness? How do you deal with the weariness in your life? I mean, a lot of you escape, don't you? You escape. I mean, you whether it be by over drinking or overeating or overworking or over exercising or overspending or over golfing, whatever it is, you try to escape. Or maybe for some of you, you've got the deer in the headlights syndrome, where all these problems are coming at you so fast, it just freezes you. You can't do anything but see all the problems coming. In fact, you start to worry so much it makes you sick. Someone once told me this simple truth. Worry is the dark room in which negatives are developed. Isn't that the truth? I mean, some of you also are running from different things. You're changing all the time. You change spouses, you change jobs, you change churches. You're always running from different things. And other of us, we gut it out. We say, you know what? If I can just make it through the end of the school year, if I could just make it through Christmas, if I can just make it through tax season, if I can just make it through our 10-year anniversary, we try to gut it out. Let me tell you this. None of those are the answer. None of those are the answer. What you need in your life is for God to show up. You need God in your life. And look what the solution is. Right out of the scripture, Philippians 4 says this. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, what? Pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. Now catch this last part. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. You know what I've learned in my own life? It's that prayerlessness robs me of my peace. Prayerlessness robs me of my peace. And so many times we share with anybody who will listen, everybody we come across, how weary we are, but we fail to share with the one who can actually do something about it, our situation. I mean, we talk about prayer. We teach about prayer. We preach about prayer. We go to Bible studies about prayer, but we need to pray. Someone once said that prayer might not make the morning come faster, but it sure makes the night seem shorter. And at that point in my life, I told you about earlier, when I was just overwhelmed, when I was feeling beat up, I remember finding myself on my knees praying to God. And in that moment I was there, I lifted my hands up. And I turned them upside down like this with nothing but my palms facing up towards him to simply say, God, I ain't got nothing. I ain't got nothing right now. I don't know the answer. I don't know what's next. God, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to turn my eyes to you. Church, we need to pray. If we want peace in our life, we need to tell him about it. So what I'm going to invite you to do right now is bow your head with me. And I just want to lead you through a time of prayer. Maybe if you feel comfortable right now where you're at, you just want to turn your hands over in your lap and lift your palms to God. Would you pray with me? God, right now we want to come to you. And first, God, we just want to take a moment. Take a quiet moment right now just to simply offer thanksgiving for all that you've done. God, you've given us so much. God, we are so blessed. Even on our worst day, God, we still have so much. And so right now, God, let us just share the things that we're thankful for right now. God, right now, I want to bring our worry to you. All the things in life that concern us, that consume us, that cause us to ask all the what if questions. God, would you help us right now to just name those things that we worry about? Help us to name them and right now just give them to you. And God, right now I want to bring our legitimate concerns, the things that are real, not the what ifs, but the things that are staring at us right in the face. God, would you hear our hearts? We just give them to you, God. Just turn these legitimate concerns to you, God. Here they are. God, right now we want to turn those things that make us anxious to you. The things that cause us stress in life. God, help us right now just take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath and to let it all out. And to know, God, that you will take care of those things if we give it to you. And so, God, we name those things and we give it to you now. And God, right now we come to you and we know if we want to be whole, if we want to be complete, then we got to confess our sins. We got to share those things, God, that separate us from you. Those secret sins in our lives that nobody may know but us and you. So God, right now we confess. God, right now we come to you and we surrender. We give our lives over to you. Everything we are over to you. And God, if we've moved ourselves off of that place where we trust you each and every day, God, help us to move ourselves back on that altar of daily sacrifice, of daily surrender. And right now, if there's someone in this room that maybe never before has made that decision, God, would you speak to their hearts? Challenge them to give their lives to you. God, we surrender. God, and lastly, we just ask for peace. We ask for the peace, God, that surpasses all understanding. A peace, God, right in the middle of the storm that we're facing. God, help us to know that, yes, you can calm the storm. And sometimes, God, you do calm the storm. But other times, God, you calm us. God, right now we come to you. And we just are sharing our hearts with you, opening up to you, God, God, and your promise to us is simply this. If we confess to you, if we're honest with you, if we share our hearts with you, that you will be our refuge, that you will be our strength, that you will be our strong tower, that you will be our fortress, that you will be our hiding place, that you will be our storm shelter. God, that's our prayer to you. We love you, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.